Good morning and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And this week we have a special treat for you as we do a special independence theme, this being the week of the 4th of July. And we have a topic for you that I think we can all relate to, and that revolves around freedom. I know that this is a special time of year when our country remembers our freedom. We celebrate what it means to be independent, what it means to be free, and especially what it means to enjoy liberty. It's probably the most highest and most praised of all the blessings that we enjoy in this great country, and we thank God for it often. But when we think about freedom, I think the first thing that comes to our mind is it's a tremendous blessing. But unfortunately today, the very freedom that we love is now being abused. And it's being abused because man is sinful. And what happens when you give freedom to a sinful man? He's going to abuse it. When you look at our nation and our country today, in the name of freedom, women can murder their unborn children. In the name of freedom, we can openly attack the founding principles of this great nation. In the name of freedom, marriage can be redefined. In the name of freedom, people can do whatever they want. See, the problem is God did not create us to live for ourselves. God does not give us breath to live each day to do whatever we want. And God does not give us physical freedom, but spiritual freedom that only comes by knowing God. Psalm 148 has been a great blessing and encouragement to me. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of all the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. If you ever want to experience true freedom, it only comes by knowing God. And the only way we can really begin to know God is to have a right view or a right understanding of who God is. You see, in these Psalms that I just got done reading, it really tells us the desire of God. It's for us to praise him. We were created not for ourselves, but to bring him glory and praise. That is our purpose. Now, my question to you this morning is this. Does this describe your life? Is the glory of God truly what you live for? I once heard a statement, and it goes like this. God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. Are you satisfied in God today? The word satisfied means to be pleased, content, to be fulfilled. You know, not too long ago, I found myself, even as a pastor, not being satisfied in God. And all this freedom and liberty that I get to enjoy on a regular basis, I still felt that I was trapped and I still felt a burden. I was not satisfied in God. And isn't it interesting how that we as Christians can often feel that way? Isn't it interesting that we search for love in people and in relationships when God tells us he's the very essence of love? Why do we do that? How is it that we find more contentment in things that we create with our hands rather than the Creator who made the hands? Why is it that we look for satisfaction in things that pass away instead of the one who is eternal? The reason I was feeling this way is because I had a distorted view of God. I had a clouded view of who God is. And if you want to experience true freedom, it starts with having a right view of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you were amazed at who God is? When you just sat in awe, in reverence of Him? The God who spoke creation into existence, the God who divided the Red Sea, the God who rose people from the dead, the same God that kept three men from burning alive in a fiery furnace. You know, you hear things like that are taught in Scripture, and it's so easy for us to just shrug our shoulders and just say, well, that happened in the Bible. Like there's some disconnect, like the God that is existing now is different than the God of the Bible. You know, several months ago, I had to ask myself some serious questions. Like, why isn't God the center of everything I am about or everything that I live for? Why does sin oftentimes look more attractive to me than God? Why is it that I hunger for the things of this world more than the things of His Word? I don't know if you've ever thought those things, but the conclusion I came to was I had a wrong view of God. And how do we fix that? How do we fix our thinking and the way we understand and know God? I think we got to go back to the Word and allow the Word to tell us who God is. Not other people's opinions, not our own thoughts and ideas, but the Word of God itself. Because we need to rediscover the majesty of God. And that's what our goal is over the next several days together. Is we're going to look at the Word and try to rediscover who is God. And who is this God that gives us this freedom that we can enjoy? Maybe you're saying this morning, why is my view of God so important? Well, think about it this way. Everything you do and everything you're about and everything you are stems from your view of God. Your attitude, your motives, your desires, your actions, even your words are influenced by your view of God. And when we don't view God correctly, we risk worshiping Him not as He truly is, but as a God we've created Him to be. Maybe you're saying, well, what do I mean by that? Well, simply by the way we live, many of us would say that the God that we worship doesn't mind materialism. Now, I don't know about you, but the God of the Bible minds materialism. You cannot serve God and mammon or God and anything else. There is only one God. The way that we live communicates to people that the God that we serve is okay with nominal devotion. We don't have to be completely sold out for Him. We can simply go to church, do the Christian thing, but when the week comes, we can live however we want. My God's okay with that. My God doesn't infringe on my comforts. He loves me just the way I am. However, that's not what the Bible teaches. And unfortunately, we live that way because we don't have a correct view of Him. In Jeremiah 9, verses 22 and 23, it says this. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That in Jeremiah chapter 9, he says, don't glory in your wisdom, don't glory in your riches, but the one thing that I want you to glory in is that you know and understand me. That you don't just know facts about me, but that you have a relationship. It's personal. That word is experience. That you understand and know who I am and what I am all about and what I want for you and how I can give you freedom. That's what God wants more than anything. Not that you glory in your strength or glory in your knowledge, or glory in anything that you can do with your hands. What God cares about is that you know and understand Him, that you walk with Him. So if we're going to live lives for the purpose that God has created us for, which is to praise Him, which is to glorify Him, then we must start by correcting our understanding of who He is. R.C. Sproul said it this way: men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. I don't think you'll ever experience true freedom until you've actually submitted yourself to the Creator. Because sinful man's problem is this: we have a lofty view of ourselves, and we put ourselves even higher than the Creator. And in Sproul's comment, he says, "You will never be duly touched and impressed with the conviction of your insignificance until you've contrasted yourself with the majesty of God." So let's do that. In Isaiah 40, verses 12 to 15, we get an accurate description on the majesty of God. He says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Who has measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance?" Think about that for a moment. Israel is having trouble trusting God and His promises because they aren't seeing them be fulfilled. And what God is communicating at this point in Isaiah's ministry is He's saying, "Look, tell the people that I can be trusted. And here is why you can trust Me." And He begins to describe Himself to His people. And He starts with His size in verse 12. "Who measured the waters in the palm of His hand." Now, if you just hold out and cup your hand, think about all the water in the world just being in that cup in your hand. Every lake, every stream, every ocean, every river. I got interested and calculated that number. It's 326 million cubic miles of water. And you know what the word communicates to us real briefly and simply here? Is that our God is so big that if He cups His hand, all the water can just settle in the cup of His hand. Now, when we take a step back and we think about that for a moment, how insignificant do you feel compared to this magnificent and great God? If you want to experience true freedom, it's only going to come by having a right view and a right opinion of God. And as we go through the broadcast this week, we are going to continue to compare ourselves to Scripture and what it tells us about how awesome our God is. Because true freedom only comes with a right view of God. So until next time, God bless you and have a great day.